right.
Okay, let me just make sure I got the right microphone on. Okay, here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Sunday, September 9th, 2012. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Beau is with us again, and you have a guest.
Yes, I have a guest. I am right here with baby Manuel here, who is having his superb and delectable lunch at this moment.
Excellent. Excellent. So anyway, we haven't really gone through and planned out the show, but that's okay, because I think the topics are, you know, at least the number one topic is fairly obvious. Since we last spoke, we had the Democratic Convention. And then there's been a little fallout in terms of what people are thinking about it. But let's talk about the convention first, and then I'll do my election update, and we'll talk about polls and stuff after.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
So let's see. We had, I guess, several major speeches at the convention. Mm-hmm. We had Michelle Obama.
Yep.
We had Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
We had Joe Biden. And yep. We had President Obama. I mean, mm-hmm. there were some other speeches that people cared about, but those were the biggies.
I will confess that the best I did was watch a few snippets of the Obama speech. I didn't find it that compelling.
Well, look, here's the general consensus on these speeches. Michelle Obama blew hers away.
Yeah.
People were very impressed by that speech. Bill Clinton really blew his away. Like,
yes.
Here's the difference. Like, I think in terms of like,
I think what I said on Friday that on Clinton's speech. Let's put it to you this way: if Clinton got on the ballot right now, he'd beat both Romney and Obama.
You know, if we didn't have a 22nd Amendment, that's the right amendment, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, he might still be president from the 90s.
Maybe so. Yes.
Yeah, who knows? But you know, a lot.
Let's just say that if he could run again, and he would be on the ballot right now, he would beat both.
He probably would. Yes. Yes. But now let's see. Now, but look, the difference between Michelle Obama and Clinton's speeches. Michelle Obama's speech, everybody thought very, very good speech, but it was all about sort of the biographical Obama, sure. You know, how their family was, things like that. Clinton's was all about policy and issues and whatever. And his the way he did this too was all about, okay, here's what they say, here's their argument,
right.
Here's why it's wrong.
Right.
Yeah, so it wasn't just in isolation saying, hey, here's the wonderful things we're going to be doing. It was all sort of directly addressing the Republican talking points on each issue.
And in a very effective manner. Far more effective than I've seen almost anybody, like in the Democratic Party, address, you know, a lot of this stuff.
And apparently, to some degree, this stuff is like, you know, he went off script a lot. So he had prepared remarks, but he added a whole bunch of stuff and changed a whole bunch of stuff on the fly as he went. A lot of this is basically going further out on these things that the Obama campaign is willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Clinton himself said, apparently in one of the after parties, it says, hey, look, you know, I can say things that Obama
right.
can't, because
absolutely.
If Obama said them, it would sound defensive.
Exactly.
It would
absolutely.
Sound whatever.
Right.
And meanwhile, he can be, you know, here, I'm going to tell it what it is. And also, he's going in a bunch of areas where Obama's political advisors have said, oh, you got to be kind of conservative on this, hold back. You don't want to give, you know, a full-throated defense of X, Y, or Z because it's somewhat controversial. Bill Clinton's like, fuck that.
Right.
You know? I'm going to talk.
And he can do it without really, you know, causing problems for the candidate in any way.
Well, and because here's the thing. If it goes well, hey, everybody's happy. If it
right.
goes badly, Obama can say, well, you
well,
know,
you know, exactly. So that's why that's the perfect win-win.
Yeah. So and then, you know, and everybody sort of agrees Obama's speech himself was kind of flat. The basic. You know, as I was following
but
the comments,
I saw certain sections and they were good. I wasn't like, you know, I mean, it wasn't compelling.
No, look, the consensus, and I was watching all this come through live on Twitter as it was happening, and then you read a bunch of stuff afterwards, was like, look, this was the safe speech
very
you do that, you know, you're not going out on any limbs.
Right.
You believe you're ahead, and he is, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll talk about polls later, but potentially even more after the conventions. But, you know, this is the safe speech you give when you're ahead and you don't want to rock the boat and you just want to sort of, you know, keep everything on an even keel. And, you know, another thing a number of people have pointed out, and I understand this too, is like, you know, if you're comparing him to 2004 or 2008, you know, he's also toning it back a bit because, you know, he's the president now.
Right.
And well, you know,
but 2004, he goes back also to the same position that Clinton was when he gave his speech.
Right.
You know, in which, you know, yeah, you can go and like say a whole bunch of stuff because you're not the candidate that, you know, as a candidate, you're kind of like precluded from saying. Well, let's go back. Even Romney's speech was not, I mean, Romney's speech, as far as I've seen, I didn't see it either. Nobody was
I did watch the Romney speech. It was like, you know, my initial comment on it was something like, you know, it wasn't that great, but maybe it was good enough. And then, like, a few seconds later, I tweeted, what am I talking about? It's not He's good
behind.
Enough. He was behind. God. He needed to, like, blow it out of the park, and he did not.
Right.
But in any way, in any case, like, as president, you can't be all like, you know, we're going to change the world and blah, 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 because he has to, like, reality has to be more heavily set on that. I mean, it would be nice if, you know, all candidates took account of reality, but, you know, hey, like, the bottom line is, as president, he had to appear a little bit more sober, a little bit more serious, a little bit blah, blah, blah. But nevertheless, I was still like, you know, he could have pumped it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
You could. Know, but
you know, but at the same end, you know what he did, he wasn't, like we mentioned, he didn't need to blow it out of the park.
He did not.
He needed to do a speech that was good, didn't have to be great. It wasn't a disaster either, okay, in which he just solidified where he's at, and that's it. And he did that, you know?
He did that, and you know, for the most part, what, you know, there have been a lot of comparisons of the two conventions, of course, you know, and
I will say this, that it to me, if I go through the comparisons, I don't know what other people, it would give you my gut reaction to what I've read, like, overall, even from the, you know, I'm talking about even Republicans themselves and Democrats, you know, I mean, a lot of Republicans have really been, like, slamming their own convention, okay, or the speeches, because they really, a lot of, like, conservatives felt that they left themselves a lot of open for a lot of attacks, like the ones that Clinton went and, like, effectively did in his speech.
They left themselves open for a lot of attacks, but more to the point, like, the comparison to a lot of people have talked about is just in terms of the message discipline. The Republicans, like, you know, there are a number of people speaking who, you know, were sort of puffing themselves up, you know, potentially prepping a 2016 run or whatever, and barely mentioned Romney.
Right. They didn't even, or like, or Romney by, like, got slammed, like, for, I mean, one of the biggest attacks I saw on him was on the military thing. The fact that he didn't even acknowledge we're at war in his entire speech from top to bottom. People were going, so this is a Republican policy that we had for 8 years. You go on a speech. You want to be president. That is one of the biggest foreign policy subjects that we've got. You've got billions of dollars committed to this thing. You don't even talk about it during your speech.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're regretting that now. But you know, again, that leaves yourself wide open. But, like, they were – the whole Republican thing was just sort of all over the place. And here's this and here's that. And they, you know, they weren't consistent on their attacks on Obama even. Like, you know, everybody attacked the Democrats. But, like, they weren't consistent in their messaging at all.
Right, and what they wanted to target.
And they weren't consistent in terms of the people speaking actually saying, hey, Romney's great, you know. And Romney himself was sort of blah. Meanwhile, the Democrats – had a narrative where, like, the speeches were, you know, somewhat coordinated. Like, you know, if you look at Obama, Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton, Biden, and Barack Obama, you know, they all sort of covered different parts of the story. You know, they were all sort of consistently. If you look at them all together, it pushes a consistent message, but each individual part, they weren't like stepping all over each other. They weren't representing different priorities, none of this kind of stuff. And you know, in the meantime, also just even little things, people were talking about iMovie's trying to talk to me in my headphones.
What?
I had iMovie up in the other window, and it's like telling me something. Anyway, you know, I would never be good on TV where the producers are telling you to do stuff in your ears because I'm.
You're like what? Yeah, you're like, what the fuck? Shut up!
Exactly. Like,
oh, that went on the air. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, even little things people have talked about, things like. You know, the Republicans had the rules battle over the Ron Paul stuff that came up, and signs. Like, people have mentioned even, like, you know, the Democrats, every time there was, like, a speaker, you know, they handed out special signs for the crowd to hold up and stuff like that, and the Republicans really didn't do that. Now, the Democrats did have a couple missteps, I guess, on the second day. They had this whole brouhaha about Israel and God and the platform and blah, blah, blah.
Apparently, what I said to people, well, apparently that's par for the course because the Republicans had the same thing with the whole platform.
The Republicans did have something going on there, but, like, this was an unforced error, as they say. Like,
right.
There was no reason. The Democrats sort of, for half a day, like, the conversation changed and was, like, on this bullshit crap.
Right.
You know, and they gave in, too. It's like the Republicans were like, aha, you're not talking about Israel. You didn't mention God. And they're like, oops, let's change that. You know, and like, there are two things there. First of all, like, you know, frankly,
talk about the platform is bullshit.
First of all, talk about the platform is bullshit because the platform doesn't matter with shit because it represents represents the party's viewpoint, not the candidate's viewpoint, and the party is not really coherent as a whole. So it's really ridiculous.
Both platforms, both the Republican and Democrat ones, are ridiculous. Let's be clear about this.
Second, in both of their areas, but both of these areas they were criticized on, you know. If they'd had a backbone, they would have said, you know, it's fine how it is. On the God issue, okay, they didn't mention God. Okay, whatever. Like,
I was having an argument. It's like, well, they took out the word God. Well, have you read the fucking Constitution of the United States? For God's sakes, we're supposed to not have, you know, constitutionalist.
It's a political document, you know, religious stuff, including mentions of God. Ideally, don't belong in there.
That's exactly right.
You know, now having said that, you know, we live in a country
that's
where
90%+ Christian, right?
And where, you know, hey, you know, maybe God wasn't in the Constitution, but it's in the Declaration. It's in all kinds of other things, and
right.
You know, it is a important part of our political history. And you know, I'm not at all saying religious people shouldn't be political, and there's no place where the, you know, your religious opinions don't affect your political opinions. Of course they do, but like, you know, ideally the state is agnostic to all of those things, and it treats all religions equally, and the lack of religion equally, and blah blah blah. Of course, even that statement is a controversial political statement because it advocates a secular state. And many on the religious right, frankly, just don't believe that's what it should be.
Well, they're fucking idiots. But anyway.
But anyway, so they had a little bit of you know, chaos on that day, and a little bit of lack of message discipline. But for the most part, and compared to Republicans, they were like just click, 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 everything going, you know, right on plan, right on schedule, and you know. It had better ratings than the Republicans, and I was surprised actually. Apparently the Democratic convention even beat out like the opening of the football season and stuff like that for ratings. And I'm like, really? Wow. Okay.
I'm gonna say this. I did watch the football game, but the football game wasn't that great that night. I will tell you this. I actually fell asleep the game. I tuned into it. First, I put my baby to sleep. I was sitting comfortably in this lazy boy now that we have in our master bedroom, and I had my baby on my side, and he fell asleep, and then I proceeded to start, like, nodding off, and then my wife came in and said, well, I'm going to bed in this room, so I'm like, oh, crap, then I gotta get out of here. So I went, I put the baby in his crib, and I went into the couch, and I don't know. I fell asleep somewhere before halftime. I woke up and I was like, oh, the game's over. Oh, okay, great.
Now, well, so- my surprise was just like, regardless of the exact numbers and comparing to what, you know, a lot of people watched this thing. It's not just like, you know, your political junkies.
I was shocked that many people watched it. I'm like, you know, I mean, honestly, I tried watching some of it. It's not that great.
Well, and of course, they're talking about the 1 hour, the 1 hour in prime time for the most part.
Yeah, I know what you're, I know what they're talking about, but that's my point. I mean, the only part I tuned in was anything that was in prime time, and even that, I was like, okay, let me flip to something else. I'm like, you know, I could read about it tomorrow.
I mean, the major networks basically carried 1 hour a night.
Of course, 10 to 11. You know, but, you know, I know that that's weird because I read. So, therefore, I said, fuck it, I'll read about it tomorrow. But, you know, I know that most people, you know, that they wouldn't read. I mean, they wouldn't see it. They wouldn't read about it. But I read. So,
yeah. Anyway, the convention seems to have gone well. Let's take a break. And then we'll talk a little bit about polling, a potential bounce, you know, my electoral college update, all that kind of stuff. We'll be back after this.
Por eso es ahora en este momentito. ¿Qué? All right. Okay. Cerraba la puerta ahí, entonces. Okay. All right. I'm good.
You're back. Okay.
Well, I mean, he's right here.
No, I know. That's cool.
And he's doing all right.
Thing.
Yeah. He's kind of falling asleep right now.
That's cool. Anyway, we're back. So welcome back to Curmudgeon's Corner after that exciting break.
He likes this whole thing where I'm holding him on my like left arm, like kind of like tucked in between like the armrest and like me.
Yep. I know the position.
He likes that spot.
Absolutely. Okay. I've got pictures of me with Alex like in that spot.
He loves that spot.
And then I look at him now. You know, he's turning 3 in a couple days now on Wednesday. He won't fit there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they get bigger. They get bigger. But anyway, so quick update. First on my electoral map analysis, there are no state polls yet that are after both conventions. I expect the first ones to come in late Sunday night, so it won't reflect until my Monday update on the website.
However, I think there was some national polls.
There were national polls, no state polls. Right. So at the state level, my estimate is still current status, Obama 332, Romney 206. Romney's best case is to win if he sweeps all the close states at 317 to 221. Obama's best case is 358 to 180, which is not quite as good as his actual winning margin in 2008. So that's the summary there.
I went the other day. I started playing with the numbers a little bit. One of the maps, right? Yep. On the close states. So I did this projection. Okay, I was looking at this. Say he doesn't say Obama on the if I look at the close states, right, I took and I decided to like – I did an interpretation map where I went and in the close states, I gave them – I gave Ohio and Florida to Romney.
Yep.
Okay? Let's say he takes both. okay?
Yep.
That still meant that Obama won by a very thin, very, very thin margin, but still won.
Yes.
Okay? Even if he took the 29 electoral votes of Florida,
that's correct. 206.
And eight, yeah, and 18 electoral votes in Ohio. Which I think is pretty generous because I really do not believe. I think
that puts Romney at 253 electoral votes, which is still short.
Which is still short. And I really don't think that he's going to take Ohio. But like, I really don't.
Look, the bottom line is, at no point in this election cycle since I've been keeping track in January has Romney had a lead. And yep. We talked a little bit last week in terms of, you know, Nate Silver's done some analysis. We talked about our gut feels last week. I posted in my last update, go to election2012.ablesmay.com, that Nate Silver had done an analysis looking at the general patterns over all elections since I believe he started in 1960 or something like that, maybe 64. And on average, it varies election to election, and there are exceptions, but the challenging party, so the party that's not in office, generally loses about 7% in the national polls between right. the end of their convention and the election day. Mm-hmm. So at the end of Romney's convention, by the most generous interpretation of the polls, it was a dead tie.
Right.
At the end of his convention.
End of the convention.
The Real Clear Politics poll average actually hit zero, a dead tie, for like one day during that period. And then if he loses 7 points from that, it's a blowout.
Yeah, it's a massacre, yeah.
Yeah, now
because this is my projection that I did the other day. I went and I played with it right now. In your map right now, as toss-up states, we've got Nevada, Colorado, Iowa. Gosh, I'm doing this without the names on the states, so I'm not doing too bad. Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, and what is that, New Hampshire over there?
Yeah, that's New Hampshire.
That's New Hampshire. Okay, all right. Hey, that's pretty good. I did that without looking at any names. Okay,
good job.
Okay, so I went and I took this map, right? Okay, and what I did is, I gave Florida to Romney. I gave North Carolina to Romney. Tennessee, Romney.
Yep, those are all reasonable.
Ohio, Romney.
And Ohio's really a stretch for Romney.
Ohio's a stretch, but that, I want to give but that's what I was trying to see.
Yeah,
Okay, Ohio, Romney. I left Colorado to Obama. Nevada to Obama. Okay? Iowa, Obama. Wisconsin and Michigan, Obama. And New Hampshire, Obama. And Virginia, Obama. That's the projected I did. Romney still didn't win. And I'm like thinking if he can't, I mean, and even that is a generous projection right now at this point, because really the one that's really the big differentiator there, okay, is really more Ohio. Okay. All right.
And by the way, Ohio, as of right now, as of when we're recording this on Sunday, Obama's lead there in my five poll average is 1.4%. But PPP has tweeted some previews of the Ohio post-convention Ohio poll that they're going to be putting out probably 12 hours late tonight sometime.
Okay, how's that looking?
They said that Obama's margins exceed his win in Ohio in 2008.
Jesus.
Which I don't remember how big that was, but it's fairly substantial.
I think it was I could pull it up, but I think it was 4 points. Let me pull that up because I was looking at it a little
PPP
bit.
PPP also tweeted that they started 5 new state polls over the last few days.
Ohio was won by Obama by 4.6 points.
Yeah. So anyway, the PPP also said that they've started polling in 5 additional states post-convention. The results won't be released for a while. Some of them are actually, they said, are private polls, so only some of them will be released publicly at all.
Okay.
But they said all 5 are looking like 2008 margins for Obama. So this goes to also there have been a bunch of national tracking polls that have been ticking up for Obama since the conventions.
Correct.
These are all rolling. The big three national tracking polls are all rolling averages over a number of days, usually like a week. Some of them are 3 days, but I think most of them are a week. They all show significant upticks already for Obama.
Big time. Yeah.
Which means since they haven't actually gotten to the point where they're all post-convention, it's probably going to go up even further.
Correct.
This is potentially a big bounce. Now, people, keep in mind, they call them bounces for a reason. They usually revert back when you have a convention bounce, it usually goes up for a few days and then back down again. We really need to wait a couple weeks to see if it settles down back where it was before the conventions, or do we have a permanent change in Obama's direction? Because part of the thing is, Romney didn't see a bounce out of his convention at all. And some analysis actually shows him having a negative bounce out of his convention. Sam Wang.
Well, I don't know. I looked at this Real Clear Politics, like, average of the polls, and it seemed like tracking towards the Republican convention, there was a tightening of the race. And I'm like,
yes,
I know
there,
I'm
was.
Look, there was a tightening, and I'm not sure whether it was directly convention related or not, because it's showing here that the average, of course, this was average, okay, as it hit around the early September dates of the Republican convention, it got, like, really to a tie. And then it's looking like the new national averages have come out, and all of a sudden it's like a massive, like, separation again, which honestly looks a lot like a convention bounce to me. Maybe I'm not looking at this data as closely as I should be on this.
There's been a number of very detailed analysis to try to tease out the Romney bounce, which is actually very difficult because the conventions were so close together and there were few polls taken in that time frame.
That's one of the things that I noticed, that they were so close together that it was difficult to clear out a bounce.
Basically, the detailed analysis that various people have done have ranged from a 2-point bounce towards Romney to a 2-point bounce against Romney, and with a lot of people just stuck in the middle with no bounce. So in any case, there's very little data there. Really, what we need to see in order to really judge what's going on, look at where we are 2 weeks from now compared to where we were before the Paul Ryan announcement. And then we know what the real movement was by all of those events. Teasing out differences in between is kind of a fool's errand. And in terms of the state polls that I look at, they're slow enough that you almost certainly couldn't tell.
Yeah,
something there.
You couldn't tell off of those. Yeah, no way.
Yeah, because my averages, even in the very quickly polled states, still cover 2 weeks, and in the less sparsely polled states, can cover over a month. So look, we have yet to see, but all the preliminary indications are that Obama's getting a really nice, healthy bounce out of this convention, much bigger than anybody expected, much bigger than I expected. Somebody asked me, Somebody asked me the day after Clinton's speech, do you think this will move the needle much? And I said, it'll move the needle a little bit. But, frankly, most people have made up their minds. It's not going to move all that much, blah, blah, blah. I did say, like I said on the show last week, I think Romney's hit his high watermark. But I didn't expect to see a big bounce right out of the convention. I sort of expected to see a slow deterioration, but it looks like we're getting a bounce. But but those bounces do fade. So again, wait a couple weeks for things to settle down, and we'll see where we are. We'll see. I do still expect to see, as we start seeing the state polls come in over the next week, we will start seeing movement in my model towards Obama again, if the national results are even partially representative. But bottom line, I should point out, I was going to point out an article from Nate Silver. yesterday, Saturday, Nate Silver, again, he's at the New York Times. You can search from there, 538. September 8th update, conventions may put Obama in front runner's position. Goes over a lot of the detail of this analysis of the bump and where he is. His model has gone from, has steadily been improving towards Obama for the last month or so. Well, not quite the last month, last couple weeks anyway, and is now up to predicting an 80% chance of an Obama victory. So, and if the election was held today, also about an 80%. Whatever. And the other things I'll point out that are interesting in his analysis, because I just like to pull this out every once in a while. Obama wins popular vote but loses electoral college. He's got a 4.6% chance of that happening.
Yeah, that's a fat chance at this point.
Romney winning the popular vote but losing the electoral college, a 3.6% chance.
Yeah, that's also a fat chance on that one. Okay.
So, but it's interesting, if you add those two together, you have like an 8% chance of a reversal there.
I don't think that's proper statistical math to add those together.
Well, you know, I'm looking at my model, and I'm looking at another. There's an analysis done at Horse's Ass. Given existing polling, puts Romney's chances much less than this, which also would put these weird scenarios less. I really an 8% chance of reversal. It's tough to really see that,
right?
You know, but you know, I think Nate Silver's being a little conservative here. Let me back off a little bit from that. Both my model and the other one I mentioned at Horse's Ass are if the election was held today. So Nate Silver does try to allow for the potential changes between now and election day. So that 20% chance of Romney winning, you know, is based on, you know, something major changes between now and the election. Although his, if the election was held today, is pretty similar. So maybe I'm giving Nate more credit than he deserves. But anyway, I could definitely see, yeah, there's still all kinds of stuff that can happen in the next couple months. But, you know, we've had the major, you know, convention events are usually one of the inflection points. The next major events that can potentially change things are the debates. You know, absent unexpected news events. Yeah, you know, unexpected news events can always change everything. But like, the next scheduled events that can change things are the conventions. But you know, frankly, both of these guys, you know, aren't likely to make huge, big screw ups.
Nope, and I don't think so.
And absent a big, huge screw up,
let's face it, Obama's going to play conservative. Okay. Last week, a whole bunch of people were saying, well, if the economic numbers come out bad, then Obama's fucked. Well, the economic numbers came out, and guess what? They weren't.
They were middling. They weren't great. They weren't.
But they weren't bad. So they made no effect on the results whatsoever. Okay? So that's tossed out the window. You know, I mean, Obama is going to play it safe, and he can play it safe right now. And unless they come up with some crazy attack that I'm not – I mean, because let's face it. You just went through the convention where they were supposed to have this full-throated like affirmation of what they wanted to do as Republicans. And you were supposed to – I mean, they were shooting with.
And even that, you've seen them start changing the message over the last couple of days. Like, you've seen Romney for some bizarre reason start talking about Obama wants to take In God We Trust off the money.
Really?
I'm not sure if that was Romney himself or people on his campaign or whatever. But like,
I'm saying the message from, even if it's not Romney directly, but the messaging that's coming to try to elect Romney from whoever the sources are.
And I think these were trial balloons. This wasn't like his major message, but even the fact that he mentioned this crap.
It's just crazy. I know, it's just nuts.
First of all, it's not true. Second of all,
even I am a secular guy. I even want to do that.
It's like, who the fuck cares, really? And the answer is, who cares? The religious right. Is he really still trying to shore up the religious right at this stage? And today, you know, apparently I did not watch it, but I've read commentary in a Meet the Press interview today. He did some, you know, Clinton elevated the debate, blah, 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 talking about the conventions. So wait, now you're talking up Clinton?
Right, I know.
I understand. Like, they had the Republicans had a little strategy going for a few days before the Clinton thing, trying to emphasize that there were differences between Clinton and Obama, and they didn't like each other, and blah blah blah, and there were tensions there, and blah blah blah. But you know, okay, now you're talking up Clinton after the speech, and so I guess you're trying to say, hey, look how good Clinton is. Obama doesn't look good in comparison. Which, okay, I understand. But what did Clinton do? Clinton spent an hour talking about how good Obama was.
Yeah, and fucking, like, saying how much the Republicans fucked everything up. And with a very clear case. I think that the one thing about last week's convention, which I just was – I was just – it's just something I hadn't seen over the last 6 months. Bill Clinton's way of clearly putting out there what the Republicans fucked up in his view and what the Democrats did right. And why we are where we are was a far more compelling case than anybody has put out there.
And by the way,
this whole election period cycle.
For that matter, for the whole 4-year cycle. I mean, people have been hammering Obama on this and actually saying, why don't you fucking defend your record?
Right.
You know, because like for healthcare, for instance, like as soon as it was passed, they sort of retreated and decided not to mention it anymore because it was scary and people didn't like it, you know. And there are a number of other things, you know, just in general, the perception, and maybe some of this is fair, maybe some of it is not, but the perception certainly has been that even where Obama has had successes, he has not done a good job talking about them and letting people know about them and claiming credit for them.
Right.
You know, and that in many cases, it seems like his staff is even skittish about doing so, saying, oh, we had a success.
It was a little bit too liberal
a success, so we don't want to talk about it too much because then people might be mad at us.
Look, let me put it this way. Healthcare reform. To me, a win. Okay, and I think that for most people in general, a win. Okay, I will tell you something. This week, I just got my explanation of benefits for the healthcare that I received over the last month for having a baby. All right, yeah. And I look at this and I realize, fuck, what do you do if you have no fucking coverage? Okay,
you're screwed.
I mean, you are so fucked. Okay, I mean, my out of pocket. Okay, for the last month, according to this, $3,000. That's my out-of-pocket.
Which, by the way, even the $3,000 for many people would be a significant hardship.
That's exactly right. But you add to the fact that that was with my insurance covering.
Right.
Without the insurance, it's crazy. I mean,
tens of thousands of dollars, am I right?
My thing is, like, for example, I saw the bill that came out for my knee injury, okay? All right?
Yeah.
$1,200. You know what I was thinking? I'm thinking about a person who doesn't have health coverage, okay? All right? And hurt their knee how I did, right?
And frankly, those people who don't have health coverage also, if they're employed at all, have a very low-paying job, of which that $12,000 is a significant chunk of what they – I mean, $12,000 is a significant chunk of most people's salaries. But if you're in that position where you don't have health insurance –
I said $3,000, not $12,000 out of pocket. $3,000
out of pocket. But if you're working a part-time job at just over minimum wage, $3,000 is huge.
It's enormous. Okay, now I did take a plan with a lot of high out-of-pockets because it had lower premiums, you know, right. But I at the time I did it, I didn't think I was having a baby. But anyway, all right, let's digress. But my thing is, like, for example, my knee injury. I went to the emergency room. It cost $1,300.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I mean, plus the follow-up treatments, $1,500, $1,600. Okay. What happens to somebody that doesn't have fucking health insurance in this country? What the fuck did they do? I guess they're just hurt. They don't work. So worse. Or they wound up at the ER without paying the bill, right?
Yep.
So we still wind up in hock for it, right?
And often in hock for more Because, like, if you have the people who wait until it's an emergency situation and go to the ER.
Exactly.
Or worse, when they go to the ER and it's not an emergency and they have to be treated anyway, you know, because it costs a shitload more.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, to me, so, number one, that's a win. Yeah. Health, okay. I think, and look, I had
a lot of reservations about the actual healthcare plan and the way it was played out, but on the whole, I'm willing to say, like, you know, I tend to be, government should intervene as little as possible, but healthcare and education are two of the areas where I actually don't feel that way. I think there's a legitimate place for government in those areas.
Okay, so we got a win there. On the foreign policy front, Bin Laden, okay, the drawdown of Iraq. Afghanistan, we're, you know, obviously we're probably going to be pulling out at some point as well. Okay, so those are a number of wins right there. On the foreign policy front, I think that he can claim that he's definitely been a victory. Number three, on the economic front.
Let me just play devil's advocate for a second. The Republicans actually don't feel all of those things are victories. For instance, they think it was a mistake to get out of Iraq. They think it's a mistake to be getting out of Afghanistan. They think we should be staying in both and perhaps even have been increasing our involvement to sort of consolidate our wins there. They think leaving is sort of giving up and letting those states, you know, go back to bad results and they'll cause us trouble later down the line. The reason they don't emphasize this very much in their talking is that if you look at polls, everybody wants to get out. Not everybody, but like everybody significant majority.
And the Republicans keep talking about cutting the deficit, and they don't. And you know what? They keep talking about further involvement out there. Look, our military spending went from $2,350 billion to we're at $700 billion right now. Okay, it is one of the highest in dollar amounts that we've been like in our fucking like history. Okay, all right. So basically, we added $350 billion a year, of military spending. Okay, for the last 11 years to really deal with this crap. Okay, by the way, so for everybody that says that the war cost $1.2 trillion, fuck you. This thing has cost $3.5 trillion so far. Okay, all right. And they want to increase that even further. So how in the world are they planning on fucking cutting the deficit, for God's sakes?
Well, and this is where you get into, you know, the various analysis of Ryan's plan, of Romney's plan, of whatever. They all, like, if you look at them in detail, they don't actually close that gap. The problem is, like, there's a lot of unspecified things. Like in both Romney and Ryan, they say, and we'll save a lot. By cutting loopholes out of the tax code. But they say nothing about what are they really going to cut, what are they going to do, blah, blah, blah. And, well, you know, by the way, if you cut those loopholes, those are tax increases on people.
Well, like Clinton said, arithmetic, baby. Okay, here's a problem. We can't get to a balanced budget if we don't cut our military spending. Okay, bottom line. Okay, of the discretionary spending
I want to go back there. Supercoin.
The super coin. Yes, super that's another coin. Solution. Okay, so half of our discretionary budget is that, and they don't want to cut it. Okay, so, you know, they're out of their minds. The only way to cut it is we need to get out of these fucking places. Okay, there's no other way out of it. Okay, so that's that part. By the way,
we probably have to raise taxes.
And as Clinton said, we have to fucking raise some taxes because it's fucking arithmetic. We have to fucking. And Clinton made that argument in such a clear fashion in terms of the wins, in terms of what needs to be done, and in terms of how he got it done, and the fact that that's what's being proposed right now to do it, and that the Republicans will have none of it. If that is the argument that keeps being hammered over the next couple of months into the election, I don't see what the Republicans have a chance in hell of closing this gap.
And it may not be. Like, today, you're seeing...
It may not be.
You're right. You're seeing some moderation. Like, on Meet the Press this morning, apparently, Romney started talking about, like, he was asked about the health... Obamacare. And he said, well, you know, we want to fix it. We want to change some stuff. We'll repeal it. But there's some parts that are good that we want to keep. And so, like, you know, like, he wants to... keep some protections against pre-existing conditions, and he mentioned some other stuff. Now, some of this is not new. Romney's said this before, but he's emphasizing it more now. And the key here is, you know, is he at some point are the Romney folks going to realize that their only path to winning involves getting some damn moderates? and start, you know, stop kowtowing to the conservative base and start actually trying to, you know, emphasize, you know, hey, you know, Romney actually isn't all that extreme. Here's some moderate things he believes.
Well, he isn't, and we know that, but the one thing is that's what he's been playing to, for, like I mentioned earlier. I mean, that's what I mentioned, like, a couple, I can't remember when we talked about this, but I mentioned that the fact that's all he's been doing. He keeps pandering to these people, and he is not...
Somebody posted, and I didn't retweet it because, like, it was long or something. I forget, but somebody posted a chart. You remember those old little quizzes you could take that would put your, there would be like a diamond shape, and you'd be a dot in the middle of the diamond shape. I think it's a Nolan chart or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I know.
How liberal, like, or conservative you are in a couple different dimensions.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, like, apparently somebody, based on Romney's answers in a bunch of interviews back in 2002, placed Romney on that chart.
And
he was dead center. Like, not even slightly deviating from the exact center of the damn chart.
Which is what I said would really need for a Republican candidate to actually win.
Yeah, well, and this is the thing. Like, I've said this before. If the moderate Republican who was the governor of Massachusetts was the guy running this time around, he'd have a shot. I'm not saying he'd win, but he'd have a shot.
It'd be a lot closer than it is right now, I'll tell you that.
Just like 4 years ago, if McCain had remained the moderate maverick McCain from 2000, he would have had a shot. Yeah, but both of these guys, the current reality in the Republican Party is to win the nomination.
You got to turn into a lunatic, basically.
You have to get the support of all these whack jobs on the extremes. And then once you've painted yourself in that corner, it makes it very hard to win the general.
Yeah.
Now, you know, maybe that pivot to the center will still come. Or maybe we'll have some weird turnout coming.
Pivot to the center, that was something that had to do with a convention.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen.
The other thing, by the way, that I've seen, you know, people talk about get out the vote efforts. There were a number of polls done a few weeks ago, so before the conventions, that looked at non-likely voters. So, you know, basically, like, if everybody voted, as opposed to just the people who are likely to come out and vote based on previous patterns and enthusiasm and stuff, we'd have an Obama landslide. He's ahead by like 10% if you actually survey everybody. You know, the difference is, you know, a lot of those people who are theoretically for Obama are the type of folks who generally don't vote. You know, and the Republicans are generally more enthusiastic this year about getting out.
I don't buy that shit.
What it is the difference. The polling that you see all takes that into account.
Right, because we look at likely voter. I mean, that's why you always have to pay attention.
Most of the polling firms started out doing registered voting and have more recently switched to likely voter models. But for the most part, the polling that you read about already models in a variety of different ways turnout, what groups are likely to turn out. They're not just call 1,000 people and report the results.
Right.
In almost all cases, they get weighted based on all kinds of factors, and the methodology is different by polling firm, and that's why you see some polling firms with biases in various directions, and why we take averages to wash out all that stuff. For the most part, the polls you see are taking into account the fact that, you know, who's likely to actually show up and vote and who's not. So there's a huge poll of people who don't vote, who, if they all voted, would make a big difference. But they won't. So, you know.
Right.
Anyway. Do we have anything else we want to talk about? We've only done two segments, but this last one was, you know.
Do we want to talk about the iPhone thing, since they made an announcement and a date?
Well, okay, let's take a break, and we'll figure out what else we're talking about and wrap it up. We'll be back after this.
This is a break. Oh, yes, this is a break. This is a break because no one gave me any suggestions. I told you. So this is a break. This is a wonderful break. A wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
Okay, we're back. So, Yvonne, here's my thought on the iPhone. They're gonna announce whatever they're gonna announce in 3 days. There are all kinds of rumors. We should talk about it after it happens.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I guess I
go ahead. Go ahead. Do your speculation.
What I was going to mention is that that unlike previous announcements, I think that we have a pretty good idea, at least through most rumors, of what the heck they're planning to announce.
The rumors are fairly consistent. The rumors are that there's, you know, it's going to be a longer. The aspect ratio is going to be more like 6:9 or whatever, more like a regular HD aspect ratio as opposed to an SD aspect ratio. It's going to, obviously it's going to have iOS 6. They're moving the headphone jack around. It's going to have, the back is not going to be glass anymore. What else am I missing here?
Obviously, I think that's a lot of the stuff that, you know, that we've seen.
It's going to be LTE.
There's going to be LTE. Yeah, there's going to be LTE. I guess my thing I'm wondering, okay, do you think they're going to announce more than one product?
Almost certainly there are also rumors. I mean, this is the September event is usually when they update the iPod as well. So there's talk of a new iPod Nano.
Well, I was going to go a little bit further out on a limb. Yeah. Okay, all right. This is the reason why I wanted to talk about this. I think they may launch more than one phone.
Okay, what makes you think this? Because I've heard no rumors on that front.
I know, but there were, of course, rumors about the iPad Mini.
But the more recent rumors say that they're saving the iPad Mini and will launch that in October.
Okay,
and
I understand that, but this is my logic, okay, all right?
Yes, logic.
This is why I know that none of the rumors have speculated anything like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that most of the people, a lot of the rumors have been speculated because of stuff of how they're sourcing product in order to manufacture, okay?
Right. So people are getting, like, case stuff examples from the supply or chain. The back plane or
parts. So if my theory holds, they would all they would indicate is what that – I think that they may launch the phone in two different sizes. And you wouldn't know, and these guys wouldn't know about it
if it matched the old phone.
Correct.
But then, would it really be a new phone? Like, I have heard rumors. Sizes. By the way, I have heard rumors. By the way, that they will do, you know, minor incremental changes to the 4G.
The 4S. So it will be a new phone, but there'll be one with a similar form factor to what you have now, and another one with a different form factor.
They are like, I'm not sure I'd call it a new phone, but they're likely to do what they've done every other time, which is they announce the new phone, and the old phone becomes the bargain version.
No, but that's not what I'm saying. Okay. Okay? That's just doing a price drop on the old products. No. What I'm saying is that when they come out with a new version of the phone, LTE and everything, whatever, that you're going to have kind of like you have, think for the MacBook Pro line, okay? You have a 13-inch, you have a 15-inch, you have a 17-inch. I think that they're going to come out with more than one size for the phone. Hmm. That's my – and I know that nobody's
expecting
that.
Okay, you're going out on a limb there.
Way out on a limb out there, but I think that because everybody has based all their speculation on supply chain reports, right? They would have no clue whether they're trying to make an iPhone 5 add LTE, say the current iPhone 4S form factor, and add LTE and add this and add that or whatever whatnot to it. You would not be able to tell the difference because they're using the same screens, the same size, the same other stuff.
Okay. So there's your prediction. I'm going to be more conservative here.
You're going to be conservative.
I believe the rumors about the iPhone 5 are probably roughly correct. We'll see on Wednesday. I'd love to see them being wrong about the iPad mini being delayed, because I'm very interested to see what that looks like. Rumors are right now that'll be later in the year.
The only other thing happened, some company out there, I
was going to mention that some other company did something that I can't talk about.
Something like sometime this week. What I will say, I had one comment about it. I just thought, well, isn't like the cheapest? I think that the price differential that's on there is not big enough in order to make an advertising pushed device. But that's just my thing.
They announced for $15 you can opt out of the advertising.
For $15. Jeez, $15, that's it?
Yeah.
It's pretty cheap. I don't know. Well, here's the thing. I think...
So, I'm going to shut up for a second because I can't talk about this.
But yeah, I think it's innovative, but I think that the one thing is that I think that the price differential between the current low-end iPad and that is not that big enough in order to justify – I think in order to drive that many people to do it. That's what I –
Say the freaking name, Yvonne.
No, I'm not going to say anything else. Okay. No, I already went out way out on a limb on this. Okay.
Okay. Since we're in the segment, and this will be our last segment because the second segment was as long as usually we have two segments. We just never stopped in the middle. One thing that came up, this came up during the Democratic convention. It also came up earlier on an awards ceremony thing that happened. But and this is really an aside because it's one of my usual rants. But here's what happened. Video of the Democratic convention that was put online was then subsequently taken down because of copyright requests.
Are you shitting me?
No, not at all. Because here's what happened. Obama's speech went up, and a number of places had it up, C-SPAN, all of the networks, blah 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 blah. But what actually happened is I apologize for not prepping properly for this. Future Sam here. A quick clarification before past Sam, muddles some stuff up. First of all, it was Michelle Obama's speech that this happened to, not Barack Obama's speech. I guess they worked out the issues before the second speech. And also all of this has happened recently is specifically related to live streams. So both the Michelle Obama live stream plus the science fiction awards ceremony I reference, and also for that matter, some stuff that happened with the Mars rover, I believe, were all related to live streams. And the basic mode of operation here is that they're automated systems where a content owner is feeding in information about, the content that they own. And if it's detected on those live streams, these automated systems shut them down. And that's what happened here with Michelle Obama's speech. There are also automated systems in place that scan non-live content to shut them down as well, or to monetize them in various ways, do all kinds of different things, depending on what the copyright owners want and what the providers doing and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, it was Michelle Obama's speech, not Barack Obama's speech, just to clarify. And now back to me. And if you think I'm muddled now, the past me is slightly more muddled. But, that's what you get on this show. So back to the show. Even the official, Obama site
had to take it down.
It ended up, it's not had to. Like YouTube or whatever, got a copyright complaint from MSNBC or whoever about this. Not a complaint. So let's see. Part of the problem here is robots. Okay, and I tweeted a couple articles about this recently, but they have automated robots where people will put up sort of the fingerprints of their content, and if it shows up anywhere, those things get shut down immediately.
Well, okay, let me correct you. It's not a robot, because there isn't some guy looking like Data sitting in front of a computer and looking at it. You mean some automated program.
Which are typically called robots.
Okay, all right, but it's not a robot. Okay, a bot. Okay,
it's
all right.
Not C-3PO, no.
It's not C-3PO. Okay, well, okay, but, I'm just talking for our audience, okay? You may be confusing people. Yeah. I mean, there's not a robot sitting in front of C-3PO going over there. Oh, look at the content. It's terrible.
Okay, anyway, so what's happening is that, like, you have events like this. And, you know, all of the news organizations have, like, systems that are pretty much automated in place to say, to, you know, fingerprint their content and their shows and, you know, automatically ask for shutdowns of anybody who infringes them. Well, you have, like, a public event like this. And then, boom! Hey, somebody else posted the speech. Shut them down. It's absolutely ridiculous. The other place that happened was there was an award ceremony for the Hugos, which is a science fiction award, that was not on television or anywhere, but they were live streaming using Ustream.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like an Emmy award or whatever. And so before they announce the winners, they show clips of the nominees. And so the clips from the shows that were nominated triggered the copyright enforcement and shut down the live stream. Now, this was cases where, A, it's fair use. And this is completely legal, even if they don't have permission from the copyright holders to use the content in this way, to use short clips to... when you're talking about the clip, analyze whatever, blah, blah, blah. B, they had permission anyway. But of course, the robots don't know that. So the robots just shut it down. And so all of this just points out to the ridiculousness of, and this stuff is going, by the way, even further than the DMCA requires. Because all of the streaming companies are basically putting all of these proactive enforcements in place to try to stay on the good side of the content providers. Because in order to make money and be legitimate and not be sued out of existence, they have to cut deals with the content companies. They have to keep the content companies happy. So they're going well beyond what's legally required and having these various automated systems that just say, "Oop, this might belong to somebody else. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down." And it's just ridiculous, really, you pull Obama's speech off Obama's website. I mean, it was reversed quickly, but you know, look, I don't know. It's just this whole thing has gone way too far in the direction of, you know, I've said before, I really don't believe in intellectual property at all for the most part, but. But even if you believe in some of it, this kind of stuff has gone ridiculously far. I mean, it's the pendulum has swung way too far in the direction of bending over backwards for copyright holders. In short term, long term, you have the Disney exceptions where Mickey Mouse will never go out of copyright because they keep changing the law to make sure it never happens. You know, and really, come on. I understand theoretically the need to have some protections in place for people, but you know, when these laws were originally written, they were written with expiration dates for a reason, they were written with fair use exceptions for a reason, they were originally written with, you know, non-commercial exceptions. You could do pretty much anything if you weren't doing it for commercial purposes. All of those things have gone out the window in, you know, the last decade or two, and it's just completely unbalanced right now. Anyway, there's
one. Yeah, I know. Well, but, you know, this is the current state of where we're at, where just everything is just...
unbalanced.
Yes.
Everything's unbalanced.
Pretty much.
You know, and you know, I expect that at any moment I'll topple over from my chair because I'm unbalanced, so...
Yes, you are, actually.
That's all I have on my list.
That's a wrap!
Yeah, okay, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening for Curmudgeon's Corner. For Curmudgeon's Corner? To Curmudgeon's Corner.
To Curmudgeon's... Whatever.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate our listeners. As usual, please email me at Abelsmade.
Hey, by the way, any feedback by any chance that we keep forgetting?
Oh, not this week.
Not this
week. I had some people going back and forth with me on Twitter while I was live tweeting some of the convention events, and that was cool. But
okay. Oh, they were twitting at you. Okay, good.
Twitting at me and retweeting and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But hey, tell people about the show. Have them listen to the podcast. We always appreciate
that. Tweet.
Yeah, and tell us if you think we're completely out of our minds, too. We'll read your comments on the line.
Actually, I don't know, really. We don't really need confirmation of that. I think we do. We already know that. But anyway, all right. Thank you.
That's it. Goodbye. Talk to you later.
Bye.
We're out. Goodbye. Bye.